As you know, we've been in a series on spiritual war between good and evil that we're all caught up in, and how we can best engage in that conflict and be victorious in this life. And last week, we talked about how conversational prayer plays a vital role in this war, because as we learn how to participate with God and hear from him, he can speak into our life, and we can win that battle in here. And what we're going to do this week and next week is very, very practical on how to engage in God in conversational prayer. Now, when I was in seminary, I had a professor, his name was David Scholler, and he did the exegetical methods. How do you translate Greek into English? And the one thing I learned in the Greek class, of course, is that I will never be a Greek scholar. But he said there's three things you have to know about translating. And he said it's context, context, and context. And of course, what he meant by that is we need to know the historical and cultural context. We need to know the textual context. Where is this in the Bible? What letter is it in, or what chapter, what verse? And the broader theological context. But what he was telling us, it was a great principle that how we approach something is as important as what we're doing. And the manner that we set out to engage with God, how we approach conversational prayer, will greatly impact what we get out of it. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is what we call bridges to conversational prayer. It sets a context. It helps us move into it and prepare our heart for it. And what's happened over the last 12 years, as we've learned more about conversational prayer and tried to train and teach others to hear God's voice, we've identified a number of areas that help us deepen our conversation with God. And it's very practical. There's some things that we can practice, and some steps that we can take, things that we can actually do to participate better in our conversational prayer. And so we're going to look at five of those today. Are you familiar with David Letterman's top 10 list? Well, we're going to look at the top five bridges. So let's start with bridge number five, intention. Now, there's several things that we want to say about intention and intentionality. The first one is that we really need to ask, why do we want to talk to God at all? Why do we want God to speak to us? Now, that might sound like a silly question, but this is important. And besides, I like to ask odd questions. So, see, I remember a time when I wanted to hear from God many years ago, but to be honest, the reason I wanted to hear from him is because there was a strata in our church, and there were those who heard from God and those who didn't, and I wanted to be in the group that heard from God because they had a better status. They were looked up to, and I didn't realize, of course, that God did not reserve his voice for special Christians. It's normal. It's something we're all entitled to hear from God. And my motivation, of course, was suspect. I don't think God's interested in helping me with my approval rating. Now, we could talk a long time about other ways that we abuse this whole process of hearing God. In fact, there's some that I've actually met people who, they don't really want God to speak into their life. They're kind of curious about what God's voice would sound like. They're maybe interested in his opinion, but they're not really interested in him altering their existence. And God has a hard time speaking into that, because that's what he wants to do. All right, so let's look at some of the reasons that God wants to speak to us. He wants to feed our soul. Isaiah 55, come to me and eat. Eat this feast. Isaiah talks about delight yourself in rich food. This is a metaphor for consuming God's word to us. He wants to heal and restore us. God's voice carries with it the power of life and the power of love and truth. And as he speaks into us, it can transform our heart. He wants to mentor us. In John 16, Jesus was telling his disciples just before the crucifixion, says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send another mentor because your training's not over yet. You need more training. And he's going to come and he's going to pick up where I left off. And so God wants to speak into our life to mentor us in our own life and how to live in the kingdom. And finally, he wants to build a relationship with us. Having a relationship with anybody is very difficult if you don't talk to them and you don't listen to them. And so God wants to speak into our life so that we can build this relationship and have something with enough substance that we actually get to know God. Now, in terms of mentoring, remember we talked about last week that Christian formation doesn't happen accidentally. We're all being formed all the time by everything that happens to us. But if we want that formation to take a direction that leads us more and more into the character of Christ, we have to be intentional. So when we engage with God in conversation, we're not just looking for God's opinion or seeing if we can hear something. We are actually in the process of seeking insights into our own life and expecting to encounter God's goodness and discovering new ways of proceeding in life. And we want to continually, we all have this internal map of how life works, and we try to follow this map and make sense out of relationships and people and events. But we need to revise this map all the time. That's part of, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so as we navigate through life, we're going to have to constantly revise this map, and God can help us with that. And we need to find new ways of engaging with God and seeing life, what we call seeing life through the eyes of heaven. Because the more we see life the way God sees it, the more life actually works for us in the kingdom. Now, the other side of intentionality is simply that of making a space in our life to be with God. We have to be intentional about that. I was just reading something, a Christian formation book recently, and the author said, it's not so much about finding time in your daily schedule as making time in your daily schedule, because most of us have a full life. We're busy. And if we're going to spend time with God in conversation, we're going to have to rearrange something to make a space for that. Because if we wait until a time of crisis and then want to hear from God, well, we haven't been practicing. We haven't been engaging. We don't know what this is like. And so we need to do this every day and be mentored and fed and renewed on a daily basis. We see intentionality in the Psalms. Look at how he says this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. See, he's stating very clearly what he wants from his connection with God. That's his intention. That's why he's connected in the first place. And it's very important as we approach our conversation with God that we do so with the intention of letting God work on this thing here. That we want to grow from this experience. So if we were to summarize this bridge, what we would say is intending to be closer to God and to allow him to change our heart are our very reasons for engaging with him. And it's good for us to just restate this somehow as we approach our time with God. For example, if we're going to read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, maybe the first thing we want to say when we sit down for a quiet time is, Lord, I want to know more about what real love is like. And I want to know how to incorporate that love into my life and flesh it out. That's my reason for sitting down and talking to you about 1 Corinthians 13. You see, we just need to reaffirm why we're having this conversation. All right, let's move on to bridge 4, appreciation. Whereas bridge 5 sort of engages our will and our intention, bridge 4 brings our emotions online with our intentions. See, what I want to do here is remember the various things in our life that God has done, things that have that can cause gratitude to well up in us with no effort at all. Maybe you could think of a person who's been important in your life. You might think of a way that God has been good to you in the past, maybe the way that he rescued you or changed your life. You could recall a time when God felt particularly close to you. And just remember, the Bible is full of the word, remember, bring to mind. It can be as simple as recalling an experience in nature. I call this my Grand Canyon moment. All I have to do is think of the very first time I walked up to the edge of that canyon and just how breathless that was and how moving that was. And I can appreciate God's handiwork and his majesty. Sometimes I like to think of the people that God has brought into my life. The different resources that he's brought into my life that have made such a tremendous impact. I'm sure for most of you it's going to be something other than Dallas Willard's book, but he changed my life. And we all have these change points that we can point back to and say, thank you, God. So as we remember God's goodness in this way, we begin to long for him. See, it brings our emotions online. It's like, I really want this conversation with you. I really desire to be closer to you. And it prepares our heart to seek him and engage with him. See, appreciation isn't just something that we do because it's how we're supposed to respond. It's a way of aligning our heart with God and the goodness in the kingdom. It helps us move away from the sense of entitlement that so pervades our culture. And it helps us to set our mind on the goodness of God. And I really truly believe that understanding God's goodness... Did I just lose my mic? Okay. I really believe that understanding God's goodness is absolutely crucial to being formed into the image of God and of Jesus. Paul says, set your mind on things above. See, appreciation, and this is really interesting, appreciation literally turns on the circuits in our mind that we use for relational connection. So what a better way to prepare our heart for a conversation with God. This is why the Bible has so much to say in it about pray with thanksgiving. It's a way of bringing our whole being online and being prepared for connecting with God. Now, this is really important, and it's so, I think appreciation is such an amazing practice. We have a little exercise that we like to do. We call it our 3x5, and I would recommend that you start this. Every day, at the end of the day, you sit down and you think, what are three things that I appreciate about my day? What are three things I appreciate about you, whoever you're with, your spouse or your friend? Or if you're by yourself, what do I appreciate about another person? Three things I appreciate about God. Three things I appreciate about myself today. And three things I think God appreciates about today. And if you just do this, and even if you're exhausted, do a 1x5. All right. But at least stop and remind yourself the goodness of God in your life. This is a great way to go to sleep. And if you practice this over the days and weeks and months, your heart just begins to become a heart of gratitude. You begin to expect the goodness of God more in your life. And you see God's goodness in a different way. We see gratitude in the Psalms all the time. Look at this. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues were singing. Our tongues were songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. The Psalms are full of this kind of stuff. And it's just because it's good for our heart. He's just recalling his joy over being liberated. So if we were to summarize this bridge, we would say that appreciating God's love and grace toward you awakens your heart to his goodness and presence. So far we've got our will online, we've got our emotions online. The next bridge is what we would call reception. Now, one of the things that appreciation does is move our heart to be more receptive to God. All right? And see, a receptive heart is going to hear God far more clearly than a heart that's shut down or closed off. And so we want to practice being receptive and teachable. Now, as we approach our conversation with God, We want to recognize that there's God's part and there's our part in a conversation. Now, God's part is to feed our soul and to heal our brokenness, to mentor us, build this relationship with us. Those are all things that he brings to this conversation. And then there's our part, which requires that we are emotionally available and that we open our heart to him for him to speak into, and open our heart for him to write on, and to trust that we're actually safe in his hands. It's a good thing to have God mess with our heart and our mind. And so we can let down our guard and let him do that. Remember the Psalm 139, search me, O God. Have at it. Go for it. I need this cleansing. And our receptivity and teachability, see, is absolutely essential to this conversation. And as we're going to see next week, the very nature of our conversation is that conversations with God are not very dramatic most of the time. They're very non-sensational. It doesn't take a spiritual gift to have a conversation with God. And there's not, you know, angels don't usually show up, and there's no lightning or earthquakes. And see, God's voice is quite subtle. And if we're not receptive, we're going to miss it. So receptivity is very important. Let's look at the receptivity in the Psalms. See, I think the Psalms are a wonderful pattern for how to talk to God. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. You see how receptive he is. Do a work. I'm ready for it. See, this is the kind of participation and anticipation and receptivity that helps us to hear God speak into our life. Because these are the very things that he wants to talk to us about. You see. So if we just summarize this bridge, being receptive to whatever goodness God has for us prepares our heart for interacting with him. All right. Let's go on to the next bridge. Bridge number two is perception. See, if we're going to engage with God, we have to have some sense that he's actually here with us and that we're talking to somebody. And if we're going to have a conversation, this is more than just the words and pictures that God gives to us. This is a real interaction. This is a relational connection in which God actually imparts something of himself to us. In the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus said, the Spirit will take what is mine and reveal it to you. You see, this is what this conversation is about, God revealing himself to us. Now, there's a lot we could say about how we view God. You know, many people have a distorted image of God. They think he's angry or judgmental or upset or distant, far away, hard to get his attention. If we don't have time to go into all those barriers and what we need to do about them. If you're still struggling in that area, then I would plead with you to get some help and inner healing, whatever it takes to heal your image of God, because he wants desperately to love us as a father loves his children and to do for us and in us what we can't do. But what we do want to say is there's three ways that we can actually help practice perceiving God's presence with us. We're going to look at those. The first one, we just have to actually believe that he's here. Now, we can say that theologically, but we need to really grasp this. We need to get this, that he is with us and he's not far away and he's not emotionally distant. He's not hard to get. It's not hard for him to open his heart to us. I like this paraphrase of Hebrews 11:6, that whoever comes to God must believe that he is relationally available to them and that he responds to those who actively seek him. Now, if that seems like a foreign language to you at all, again, please find someone who understands this, who grasps this, who believes this with all their heart, and ask them for help. Ask them to pray with you and see if God wants to speak into that. God truly is emotionally available to us. He's relationally available. We need to be convinced in our heart that God wants to talk to us and that this is normal. All right, the second thing we need to do in terms of perception is to remind ourselves, I think this is really helpful, if we remind ourselves that we actually live in a community of the Godhead, if you will. We have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all with us. Now, I know some of us have been taught that God and Jesus are up in heaven and the Spirit's down here, but they're actually everywhere. And if you read John 14, see, I think the Upper Room Discourse is so fabulous because what he's talking about is, I've been with you for 3 years and our relationship's going to change, but this is what the relationship's going to look like. So if you want to know how to have a relationship with God, read John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Because that's the very heart of what this is going to look like. And in there he says that not only would he send the Holy Spirit to us, but he says, I will come to you, the Father will come to you, and we will reveal ourselves to you. This isn't going to be some hidden, obscure, you know, impenetrable wall. He's going to reveal himself to us. Now, I know for some of us, that's just like, yeah, but when and how? You know, I don't know what you're talking about. But I just get this for starters, that all three of them are here, all three of them are here with us. And so we have a minimum of four. This is what we call, I'm never alone. Even when I'm walking around by myself, I'm in a community of four. And I like that image that I've got a whole trio with me to help me. And my relationship with the Father might be different than my relationship with the Son and my relationship with the Spirit. And I interact with them differently. And I think it's really good for us. If you've never done this, I would recommend that you sit down and you ask God, help me envision, give me a picture, maybe a video, give me a picture of what it looks like for all of you to be here with me. What does that look like? What does this community actually look like? How do I reach out and touch you? How are you present with me? And I think it's really good for us to have a visualization, if you will, of how God is present with us. And God can give us that. He can show us what that looks like. And as we practice this, practice spending time, enjoying the company of all three persons of the Godhead, we develop a stronger sense of security and goodness. All right, let's go on to the third thing. Another thing that will help us with perceiving the presence of God is a practice that we call relational quiet. Now, in order for me to explain what this is, let's try a little experiment. Most of you can identify a person in your life that you have felt really safe with. They're just their goodness in their heart and the way they regard you. You just feel safe with them. So what I want you to do, now you can close your eyes if that helps, but just take a minute and bring this person to mind and just allow yourself to feel their goodness, how secure you feel in their presence, maybe content, feeling loved, that you're known. You feel safe in their thoughts of you, the way they hold you in their heart. Maybe even feel a sense of relief of being in their presence because it's so life-giving. Now just hold that person in your thoughts for a few moments. Allow your soul to just calm in that sense of goodness. Now, as you continue to hold that goodness and security, let God into your thoughts as well and feel his goodness and his love for you and the safety of his heart for you. See, this is what it feels like to be quiet with God. Now, maybe we can end the service right here. This is a good thing to practice. Be still and know that I am God. This is what it feels like to feel the presence of God. That goodness, that security, that joy. And as we practice relational quiet, we'll be able to go there very directly. You don't necessarily have to use the sense of your friend as a bridge. You can just go there directly with your image of your minimum of four. This is what it looks like for God to be with me. I just feel calm and peaceful and secure and safe. And just soak in that. Rest in that for a few minutes. All right. So this is perceiving God. And this is part of preparing our heart to have a conversation with him. All right, once again, we see this in the Psalms. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. So he's turning the eyes of his heart toward God and letting himself just dwell on the beauty and goodness that is there. So this isn't just an intellectual exercise. This is a whole body experience of remembering the goodness of God. All right, so to summarize, perceiving God with you and believing he wants to be close and involved in your life draws you into a deeper relationship with him. So far we've got intention, which brings the will online. Appreciation gets our emotions moving. Reception, which is kind of our part in the conversation. Perception is really getting God's part in the conversation, if you will, that he's here, he's involved. And now, drum roll, bridge number one, reflection. Now, this is where we begin to move into the conversation itself. And now by reflection, we just mean turning something over and over in your mind and looking at it from all sides. Now, we all know how to do this. All right, especially when things go wrong. We know how to ruminate. You know, if I just had that to do over again, I know exactly what I'd say to that person. And then if he said this, I'd say this. And boy, I'd deliver a line that would just knock him off his socks, you know. It's just, all right. We can do this for hours. You know, what the boss did or said or that terrible review I got at work. Or what this person did to me. But here's the good news. We can use those very same skills to ruminate on good. We just need to practice this and learn how to do it. All right. And the Bible, again, is full of this. Look at Deuteronomy, what we call the Hebrew Shema. Moses wrote out this in the early chapters of Deuteronomy. It's very familiar. Go something like this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite. Here we go with the ruminating. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're away and when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your heart, of your house, and your gates. Put them on sticky notes and put them on your mirror. Make a screensaver out of them and keep them in front of you. All right? Ruminate on the goodness of God. This is also what Paul talks about in Philippians 4 when he says, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's pleasing, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You see, reflection, what we call spiritual reflection, feeds our soul. It really does. It helps us to form our heart. It builds a bridge. I think this is probably the primary way that people under the old covenant actually did spiritual formation. It's just spiritual reflection. All right, let's move on. If we were to define spiritual reflection, I would say it's carefully considering a spiritual matter over a period of time for the purpose of engaging our heart more deeply in the things of God. Now, spiritual reflection is good for us even if we don't hear from God. But the really good news is, and this is huge, this is why this is the number one bridge. Spiritual reflection is our half of a conversation with God. When we go to have a conversation with God, we don't just sit passively and listen like we're trying to see if the TV's on in the next room. Okay? We engage in active spiritual reflection with the expectation that God's going to join us and talk to us during that process and open our eyes to things. This is a very active process. Spiritual reflection is our half of the conversation. Say, and as we contemplate a verse or a life issue that we're wrestling with, we just continue to pay attention to any additional promptings or leadings during our reflection. Because the truth is, we most often hear from God when we're actively involved in this process. Now, we're not just talking about random thoughts or just a stream of consciousness, but actually looking and searching for ways to connect our thoughts to our character and our life, honestly searching our heart for how we're reacting to the things we're talking about, and allowing ourselves to feel the impact of what we think, all right? This isn't just a cerebral exercise. And so and as we recall these things in the future and remember them often, they sink deeper into our soul. Now, once again, the Psalms are a wonderful pattern. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. And there's statements like this all throughout the Psalms. They understood the value of spiritual reflection. Now, let's summarize bridge number one. Reflecting on spiritual matters with all your heart, soul, and mind is your part in any conversation with God. Now, here's where it gets real fun. We're going to pull all this together, pull all these bridges together. This is what we call walking through the bridges. All right? Now, here's what it looks like. If I make use of these bridges as I begin my conversation with God, I'll come into this interaction with a prepared heart and an anticipation of what he has for me. We just walk right through them. First, I state my intention. This is why I want to have this conversation. This is what I want from the conversation. Then I move into a few minutes of appreciation. It engages my emotions, remembering what God has done for me in the past, stirring up my heart for this time with him. Then I state my receptivity, my participation. I talk about asking God to help me, open my heart to him. Perception, focusing on God's presence with me and the life and the love and the truth that he's bringing to this conversation. And then I begin reflecting and fully engaging in the conversation as I pay attention to whatever it is that God wants to show me. You see how this can deepen and strengthen the kind of conversation that we're having with God. Now, I'm going to try to show you what this looks like in practice. Let's look at Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their heart on pilgrimage. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. O Lord of hosts, blessed are those who trust in you. So if I were to walk through the bridges on this, I might start something like this. And this is completely unscripted. I'm just going to make this up as I go, all right? Intention. God, when I look at this psalm, I just see excitement and thrill and a taste for God. And I want that. I want that. I want to feel that in here. This is what I want. to be able to feel what that psalmist is feeling and to engage with that and to rejoice from my toes up the way they are. Appreciation. Lord, I've had moments like this. I love it when you're so close that I can hardly take it. And I want that sense of your goodness and your joy to permeate my life. And you know, as I think about those times we've had together, I want more. I long for you. I desire you. Reception. Lord, if there's anything in the way, bring it to the surface. I don't want anything to stand between me and you. And if you can help me lay down my defenses and help me surrender, I open my heart to you. I ask you to speak into me and reveal to me what I need to cross this into this kind of experience. Perception. Lord, he says, blessed are those the God appears before God in Zion, and my flesh sing for joy. It longs for the courts of the Lord. Help me to see. Help me to visualize what it's like for you to be with me and me to be in your very presence. That's what they're talking about. Open my eyes. Remove the scales from my eyes, Lord, so that I can experience your closeness and how accessible you want this to be for me. Reflection. Wow. It's hard to know where to begin. There's so many things here. I'm drawn to the phrase, my soul yearns and faints for the courts of the Lord. And I think of the deer who pants for the rivers of water. Lord, my soul just longs for more of you. I really, really want to be close to you. I know I get distracted a lot. I know I think about other things. I worry about too much to do and too many places to be. And I can go a whole day and not even think of you. And I don't understand that. I don't get why that is. I want to feel that desire. And give me the desire for whatever desire I don't have. I want that blessing, God, about dwelling in your house. What does it mean to dwell? What does it mean to dwell? You talked a lot about abiding in the New Testament. I think I want to read those verses again, maybe tomorrow, and look at that. John 15. And I really want to know more about abiding. And strength. Wow. I feel so weak today. This cold is getting me down. I feel worn out. I want to know what it's like to feel your strength in me. You know, I can try to crank it out and push through, but I want your strength. You see how this is going? I'm just reflecting. I'm just working, searching my heart for reactions and trying to pay attention to what's going on inside of me and what I want from God and trying to sense any direction that he wants me to go in, places he's leading me. The dwelling seems to have really captured my attention. I want to just camp there for a few days in my quiet time with God, dwelling with God. What a thought. The God of the universe who loves more than I can imagine. So you just turn these things over in your heart and mind. Now, I prefer to journal as I do this because it helps me to discern better and focus better. I don't wander in my thoughts as much. That's another issue. But it's just, you see how the bridges prepared me for that reflection time. Now, it doesn't just have to be about a verse. We can do this with our daily issues. Okay, let's say I'm a parent. My one of my children is going through a new stage, and it's challenging, to say the least. I don't know what to do. I don't know how a 2-year-old or a 14-year-old can present problems that a 40-year-old can't solve, but it happens. So you go to God and you say, look, I need something from you. I need some wisdom. I need strength. I need patience. I need something from you, and I want that in our time together. That's intention. Then you move on to appreciation. Lord, I'm so glad for this child you've given to me and the gift that they are in my life and that you've given me this job of raising them. And then reception. But Lord, I'm weak. They didn't come with instructions. I don't know what to do. And I need someone to speak. I need you to speak into me and give me the wisdom I don't have to raise this child. And then perception. Lord, I can't do this alone. I need to see you. I need to be with you. I need your comfort and your assurance that it's okay to be a flawed parent and that you're a big God and you can speak into my child's life as well and we can do this together. And then reflection. Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I can't stand. This is what I don't know what to do about. And what do you think? You know, how do I react to this temper tantrum? Or how do I react when my 14-year-old yells at me and storms out the door? What do I do? Do I run after them? Do I stay back? Do I pray? I don't know. I don't know what to do. Let's talk about that. Or it could be something at work. Lord, you know how they're trying to undermine my reputation at work. I don't get it. I don't know what's the office politics I'm not good at. I need you to help me with this. I need some direction. That's my intention. And then appreciation. Lord, I'm glad for this job you've given me. I don't know what I'd do without it. Reception. But Lord, I need something from you. I need to lay down my defenses. I don't want to fight at work. I don't want to be an adversary at work. I need you to speak into me so that I can have something I don't have now and I can stand strong in that place. And then perception. I need to know that you are with me right now and that you are with me when I go to work, that there's no division between secular and sacred, and that I can walk with you as I go there. And then reflection. Begin to talk to him about the details of this problem at work that's driving you crazy. You see how this works and how it just, this when we use these bridges, it just walks us into the very presence of God, prepares our heart to really listen well and to engage with him. Now, this is, there was a few things that we just suggested that you practice on a daily basis that helps fortify these bridges, make them more accessible, that we can perceive the presence of God and practice appreciation as a lifestyle. But when we bring all these things to bear as we get ready for a conversation with God, they can really deepen our connection with him, prepare our heart to be more receptive, and really hear from God. So I hope these bridges, you find these bridges helpful and worthwhile.